Father, we thank you tonight for your word, and we pray tonight as we go to it, I pray you'd be with me as I preach, that I might preach according to your word and will. And Father, be with all of us as we hear, that we hear not just my voice, but the voice of Christ and the voice of your Spirit speaking to us. Help us to understand your word. Help us to apply it to our lives. Father, we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Our passage of scripture tonight is from Proverbs, and I'll be reading verses 18 and 19 of chapter 4 of Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 4, 18 and 19. But the path of the just is like the shining sun that shines ever brighter unto the perfect day. The way of the wicked is like darkness. They do not know what makes them stumble. I remember walking with Erica O'Connor, and usually it was dark when we walked with her, but there were times after I was walking with her that I walked by myself, and I walked one day the same path that I would walk with Erica, but it was during the daytime, and I was by myself, and I remember thinking of this verse, because as I was walking, the sun got brighter and brighter as I was going on that path. And so I thought of this verse, and I always remember Erica when I read about the path of the just, because I believe she had that kind of walk with God as well. And we see this passage of scripture, along with many in scripture. God speaks a great deal, my first point, in his word about paths and ways. The first psalm speaks of the way of the righteous. It starts with the comparison of right and wrong ways. The whole psalm is really that. But at the end of that psalm, verse 6, it says, "For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall be righteous," meaning he has a knowledge that is a favorable knowledge of the righteous. It's the way God blesses. Secondly, God's word is a light unto the right path. Psalm 119, 105 says, "Your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." God directs us with his word in the right way. Scripture tells us, Jesus tells us also, that the right way is a narrow way. It's a way that most people miss. Jesus says, "Enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and there are many who go in by it. Because narrow is the gate, and difficult is the way that leads to life, and there are few who find it." It is important to understand what is meant here by narrow. I remember driving in Okinawa, and the first time I drove one of our school vans, I knocked one of the mirrors off. And I remember being all worried, because this was school property, and I just knocked a mirror off a van, and I go into the superintendent to tell him, and I'm all worried about what he's going to say about this. And as soon as I get close to the door, he yells out, "You knocked the mirror off, didn't you?" And he's all happy. He says, "We all do it. It's something we do every time, the first time we drive here." Because all the paths were narrow paths. There were no wide ways. The broad way seems nice because it's easy to travel. And here Jesus says the broad way leads to destruction. You have to be careful when you're in the narrow way to stay on that path. And so ultimately, though, Jesus is the way. He's that narrow path. And you look around us, how many people are really devoted to Jesus? Not many. They want this path and that path and every other path. But they won't take the way that is Jesus. Jesus says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me." This is the way that we are to teach our children, our families. Genesis 18 and 19 says, God speaking about Abraham, and he says, for I have known him in order that he may command his children and his household after that him, that they may keep the way of the Lord to do righteousness and justice, that the Lord may bring to Abraham what he has spoken to him. And this is what we're seeing in Proverbs 4. In Proverbs 4, Solomon is teaching his children. That's what we see, verses 1 and 2. It says, hear, my children, the instruction of a father, and give attention to no understanding, for I give you good doctrine. Do not forsake my law. B, he's teaching them what his father David had taught him. Verse 3, it says, when I was my father's son, tender and the only one in the sight of my mother, he also taught me and said, let your heart retain my words, keep my commands, and live. And we're wise when we keep godly fathers and mothers teaching, and a godly grandfather and grandmother's teaching. And that's what Solomon is showing here. And it is a way for which we are to pray. Psalm 25 says, show me your ways, O Lord. Teach me your paths. We should pray that God guides us in the right way. There are always many ways. It's interesting, in Pilgrim's Progress, there's a place where the path that's the right path and another path seem to go right along with each other. And they start into the wrong path because it seems just like the right path. But very, very gradually it pulls away. And sometimes the wrong path is hard to see that way. But here, this right path is called the way of the just. Point number two. But the path of the just. And just here is tzaddik in Hebrew. It means just, righteous, devout, innocent. There's a sense that we need to understand we're not that person. We're not by nature just, nor by nature do we walk in this way. It's a way that we go against nature. Scripture says, Romans 3, 10 and 11, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none who understands. There is none who seeks after God. Ever wonder why it's so difficult to pray? Or why you might prefer doing something else than read your Bible? By nature, we don't do these things. By nature, we tend to do what is wrong rather than what is right. I still remember my favorite of Dr. James Dobson's that I ever heard. He was talking about a man who took his little two-year-old daughter to a basketball game. And this dad wanted to teach his two-year-old daughter about obeying and all about freedom and how she could have freedom to do different things. So he got very early to the basketball game before anybody else was there. And he took his little two-year-old daughter and showed her all around the basketball stadium. And he said, you could play here and you could play over here. And then he showed the little girl the line that led to where the basketball players were playing. And he told the little girl, just don't go over this line. And so they got up in their seats and the game started. And as soon as the game started, the little girl ran down to the line. She looked up at Daddy and she started stepping over that line. That's what we are by nature. We don't go in the right path. We tend to go the wrong way, and we tend even to admire people who break the rules. Watch any movie any modern movie, and often it's about breaking the rules rather than being obedient to the rules. We're not naturally righteous, but God's righteousness, when we are Christians, is imputed to us. In Romans 3, 21 and 22, it says, "But now the righteousness of God apart from the law is revealed, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ to all and upon all who believe, for there is no difference. God righteously imputes Christ's righteousness to us." And that's the only way we get to heaven, is because of that. But then also, not only do we have imputed righteousness, but God enables us by his Spirit, after he's imputed Christ's righteousness to us, to walk in his ways. We see this in Ephesians 2, where it says, "And you he had made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sins, in which you once walked, according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, according to the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom also you once conducted yourselves in the lust of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, just as others." But jump down a few verses later, Ephesians 2, 8 through 10, it says, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." Amen. And so there's a different path that we don't go by nature. It's not something we do naturally, but God is gracious to us, and by his Spirit, he puts us in our hearts to walk the right way. Even when sometimes it's hard, we do what is right and we do what is good. Even when we're tired, we push on and we do that right thing. Number three, this path of the just is a well-lighted path. It says, "But the path of the just is like the shining sun that shines ever brighter unto the perfect day." It's a lighted path because it's the way in which Jesus Christ leads. Jesus spoke to them saying, John 8, 12, "I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life." The more we follow Jesus, the more we should expect light. The more the right path will be clear to us. We'll see wrong is here, wrong is there. We know what's right and wrong. We have no trouble discerning those things, because Jesus is the light of our world. Scripture lights this way as well. As I read before, Psalm 119, 105, "Your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." It's one of those paths. I've seen them occasionally at houses when it's nighttime and the path has little lights all along the path, and you can see your feet better than anything. You can see the path because it's a lighted path. The word of God lights our path so that we can see every step ahead of us. The light that is mentioned here is a morning light. It's a healthful light. "Then your light shall break forth like morning. Your healing shall spring forth speedily, and your righteousness shall go before you. The glory of the Lord shall be your rear guard." Here is the morning light. It's like when the sun shines bright in the morning and you feel like getting up. You feel that strength because it's not a day like today. It's a day that's bright and sunny. And the spiritual part of this is what is talked about. It's God making that light for you spiritually in your soul. I believe literal healing is mentioned here because it's first spiritual and moral. But when we're spiritually and morally right with God, when we're walking with God, when we know that we've confessed all our sins and that we're going the right way physically, I think we feel better at those times. It is also not only a personal healing, but it's also a social and a contagious healing. The devil's darkness spreads like disease, but God's light spreads health. Health for a nation is when we see God's word being spread all around. When that happens, when people are excited about God's word, Don't people walk with God? Doesn't it improve not just one person, but it improves the society? That's what's being talked about here. The light is a growing light that shines ever brighter. Matthew Henry said it like this. He says, it is a growing light. It shines more and more, not like the light of a meteor, which soon disappears, or that of a candle, which burns dim and burns down, but like that of the rising sun, which goes forward shining, mounts upward shining. Grace, the guide of this way, is growing. He that has clean heart hands shall be stronger and stronger. Fifthly, it's an evangelistic light. Jesus says to his followers in Matthew 5, at the very one of the very beginning parts of the Sermon on the Mount, he says, you are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. When Jesus was first speaking, all we know for sure is that he had 12 really dedicated followers, and actually that number was only 11 because of Judas. And he did have other followers, but some of them seemed to come and go. And maybe at most when he died, maybe 120 people, 140 people were following him. But very quickly, they multiplied. And today, the Christian church is still the biggest in the world, and it's multiplying everywhere in China and in the Middle Eastern countries where it's maybe majority Muslim. Here it says, the light which shines brighter and brighter every until the full day. The Hebrew is literally going and shining. The word means to be going and shining. We're to go, as it says, Jesus says, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. That means he's with us today. Jesus is still with us even to the end of the age. He wants us to go and let our light shine to a world. This is an evangelistic light. We are to glorify God when we shine for him. The other part of this verse, let your light show shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. See your good works. It's not just what we say that is the light. The word of God certainly is, but it's the way we live. It's the way we care for people around us. These are our good works. They are our light. Point number four, the ways of the wicked are opposite. The way of the wicked is like darkness. They do not know what makes them stumble. If you ever walked in a very, very, very dark room, especially if you didn't know what was on the floor or in your way, and you're tripping around or you're feeling with your hands because you can't see a thing, that's the condition, morally and spiritually, of a world that doesn't know Christ. This is the extreme opposite of the path of the just. Charles Bridges says, the way of the wicked is like deep darkness. It has no direction, no comfort, no safety, no peace. And he goes on a little later and he says, their way is not just dark, but darkness as a result of ignorance, error, sin, and misery. The love of sin rebels against the light like cockroaches. You know, you turn a light on, if you have cockroaches in your house, do they stay and start singing in the light? No, they scatter and they run to hide. And when you put light on immoral people, they want to hide, they want to run, they want to get into the darkness. As the path of the just leads to heaven, this way leads to hell and gives the wicked their first taste of hell. because the darkness is part of hell. Jesus says in Matthew 25:30, and cast the unprofitable servant into outer darkness, there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. A horrible, horrible place. This great darkness is what we see all around us today. When we look around and we see the wickedness in the world that seems to be multiplying more and more, it's because people have not followed God's word. They're not walking in the way of the just. It starts with not glorifying or being thankful to God, as it says in Romans 1:21, because although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God, nor were they thankful. We're getting close to the 4th of July, and our country was at least started as a Christian nation, and we had Christian leaders that taught the word of God. But there was a point where we said, we don't need God in our school, we don't need the Bible in school, we don't need prayer in school, let's get rid of those things. And since then, it's got darker and darker. Bad thinking leads to foolish, darkened hearts. The second part of Romans 1:21 says, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. You start thinking against God. You start thinking, I don't need God. And not only are your thoughts corrupted by that, but your heart is darkened. And then arrogantly they deceive themselves, thinking they are wise when they are fools. Verse 22, Romans 1. Professing to be wise, they became fools. And then D, they count themselves and animals to be gods and goddesses. There's evolution there. You know, in the old days, they used to make statues of animals and bow down to them. Now we call it evolution, and we look to animals for our morals. They changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like incorruptible man and birds and four-footed animals and creeping things. God gives them up to uncleanness, immorality, homosexuality. Therefore, God also gave them up to uncleanness in the lust of their hearts to dishonor their bodies among themselves, who exchanged the truth of God for a lie and worshipped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this reason, God gave them up to vile passions, for even their women exchanged the natural use for what is against nature. Likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust for one another, men with men, committing what is shameful, and receiving in themselves the penalty of their error, which was due. There is a prediction in Romans of, you know, sexually transmitted diseases because of homosexuality. And we see this is a step down. They first throw away theology, they get rid of God, and God gives them up to these things. They walk further and further into darkness. Their grade F in theology means God fails them, letting them go their own way on their own path to darkness and destruction. It says in verse 28, and even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a debased mind to do those things which are not fitting, being filled with all unrighteousness, sexual immorality, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, evil-mindedness. They are whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, violent, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, undiscerning, untrustworthy, unloving, unforgiving, unmerciful, who, knowing the righteous judgment of God, that those who practice such things are deserving of death, not only do they do the same, but approve of those who practice them. And so there you see walking into darkness, committing every kind of sin. That's the opposite way. The two paths could not be more different. One is light, the other is darkness. One is God's knowledge, the other is man's ignorance. One seems right, the other is right. One is moral according to God's law, the other is immoral according to fleshly lusts. One leads to life, the other to death and destruction. One is difficult but safe, and the other seems easy, but it's a path full of nails and pitfalls and lies and error. One is the way of Jesus Christ, and the other is the path of Satan. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that you give us a path that we can follow, that we can know, a path that if we follow it will grow brighter and brighter and more clear the longer we walk on it. And Father, we thank you for that. We pray that we might be lights in a dark world, that we might shine to those around us, that they might see the path that we're walking on and come and join us in it, instead of the walking in the darkness that the world does. We all, as Scripture says, once walked that way. By nature, we walk that wrong way in the darkness. By nature, we avoid God. We avoid your things, God. And so, Father, we pray you'd help us to walk that right path. Help us to be witnesses and lights in the darkness. And Father, we pray for those in the darkness that they might come to the light. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. One more.